You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I've already got a feeling, ladies and gentlemen, that this is going to be one of those shows that we look back on at the end of the year and we point to and say, that was really one of the ones that was quintessential TPC. That was what we are capable of to the greatest extent. And so much of it, of course, is to the wonderful, wonderful roster of guests we can draw from help us tackle any given issue. And tonight, as I was telling Warren Balog during the outro of the last hour, I said there was three guys that I wanted to have on tonight to cover the situation in Buffalo. And they were you, and it was Trey Garrison, and it was Tim Murdoch. I said those were the three that I thought were really well-suited to do this. Now, we've got so many regular guests that can really talk about anything. But for this one, these were the three that I thought would just be a hand-in-glove type fit. And I'm so thankful that our first three choices were all available to come on tonight. And we've got one down, two to go. Not that we're rushing through it. But joining us now is the aforementioned Trey Garrison. He is an author, a journalist. He wrote the book, Opioids for the Masses, Big Pharma's War on Middle America and the White Working Class. We talked to Trey at the end of last year, so he's back on with us tonight. Trey, I'm going to get your official bio in the next one. I wrote it down. God, Keith, you saw me write it down, but I can't read my own writing. Trey, why don't you tell me? I'm looking at it. I said,
introduce yourself, Trey.
Tell us exactly. I said, this is the best intro we've ever had on the show, and I can't even read what I wrote. Trey, tell us who you are beyond what I just said.
I tried to encapsulate it as succinctly as possible, and I'm an author, journalist, and podcaster covering far left and Jewish extremism and disinformation.
That's what I was going to say.
You're our minister of disinformation now.
Or minister of truth, really, if you think about it.
We're getting really Orwellian now.
author, journalist, podcaster covering the far left, Jewish extremism, and disinformation. And folks, let me tell you, none do it better. Trey, it's great to have you back on tonight. Really appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate it. I think this is my third time coming on, so I think I get a gift basket in the green room afterwards. Because
yeah, that's right. We're going to take it. We did. You did cover it. Warren was making his encore appearance tonight. This is your third appearance. We talked about the Charlottesville trial. Then you were on the Christmas Day. Christmas fell on a Saturday last year. Christmas Day broadcast to talk about your book, and then now again tonight. Indeed. That is the case. So with Warren, we covered sort of the fundamentals of the situation in Buffalo. With you, we're going to talk about the media's coverage of it in terms of the double standard that is being applied when a black anti-white shooter goes after white people versus what we've seen here. Yeah, ho-hum. We'll get to that in the next segment. But before we get to that, and folks, if you haven't seen this movie that Trey has been a part of, it's up at our website tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Just go back to the Friday entry on the blog there. It's incredible, and it deals with the situation of Wisconsin at the Christmas parade. We're going to unpack all of that this hour. But first, Trey, take it in any direction you would like with regards to your takes and your opening remarks with regards to Buffalo. You saw the news, as we all did, and what did you think?
Well, my initial reaction, and I want to be very careful about how I say this, because the mainstream media would love to paint us all, it doesn't matter what your label is, white nationalists, white supremacists, alt-right, whatever, they would love to paint us all as these horrible monsters that want to genocide everybody. But the reality is, I'm the furthest thing from a ghoul, and I think most of us are. And so the idea of taking any schadenfreude in a situation like this, to me, is distasteful. However, while I will not take any of that sort of perverse pleasure in something as horrible as this, I also am not obligated to care. And so I realized my first reaction to this was the classic Italian fascist statement, "Me ne frego." I don't care. I mean, outside of the outraged media, it's only been a week, and outside of the outraged media, no one's talking about this. No one really cares. Black people certainly don't care. I mean, 10 people shot dead is a slow weekend in Baltimore. You know,
I said Chicago.
This, yeah, or Chicago, either one, or Philadelphia. The weekend before this, in Atlanta, there were two public mass shootings outside of a Taco Bell and a McDonald's that were feet away from each other in the course of like 2 hours. So like one, while one is being investigated, while the cops are actually there, another shootout starts at the fast food joint next door. So I just have a huge amount of trouble thinking anyone really cares about this unless they want to yield it as a political cudgel to smite their enemies with. And that's what they tried to do.
Yeah, Trey, what gets me about this is why would someone who is motivated by the Great Replacement, quote-unquote, which is basically an Hispanic phenomenon in America, it's a Muslim phenomenon in Europe, nowhere is it a black phenomenon. Black people were 10% right. of the American population in 1960, now they're 13%. If this right. is a Great Replacement, it's progressive racial speed. Why in the heck would he go out and shoot 10 black people? It has all the fingerprints on it of a leftist coup or something, or plot or false flag, because apparently black lives have more pizzazz in the eyes of the left than Hispanic lives. But if he was truly motivated by the Great Replacement, it makes no sense.
Well, we covered that with Warren in the first hour, and it is something that should be repeated, but with Trey, rather than replow that, I would ask you this. I would put it in a different way, Keith. I would say, and again, we talked in the first hour as to whether or not he was acting under his own agency, if it was
whether he's being baited by the FBI.
We don't know. Okay, but let's just take right. again for argument's sake. Let's take the media's word for it. He did it because he was upset about the. Not the Great Replacement theory, but the replacement fact, and he did this. Now, we're going to be talking to you primarily, Trey, this hour about when the opposite happens, when the inverse happens, and how the media treats it and how the ruling elites treat it. But is it possible, if this is a true story, is it possible that a naive and troubled young man might believe that violence is the answer after seeing corporate contributions totaling hundreds of millions of dollars and massive political clout gifted to BLM terrorists in response to their own murderous and arsonist rampages?
I don't even think that his foresight, this troubled moron's foresight, could even go that far. This was... Again, we're a nation of 330 million people, 59% of whom are white, who are being dispossessed, pushed out of culture, pushed out of opportunity, pushed out of education, constantly bombarded from school, from the media, at all levels about how evil they are, how their existence is awful. And, you know, couple that with the proliferation of psychiatric drugs being, you know, thrown into any kid who raises voice or, you know, plays around too loudly on the recess, at recess. And of course, you're occasionally going to have someone go crazy. And that's when you look at the actual ADL's own numbers on this. It's insane for this to be even statistically a blip on the radar.
Hold on right there, Trey. I don't know how we're already at our first break. Already at our first break. They must have been speeding up the clock or something. We'll be back with Trey Garrison. Hold that thought, Trey. We're going right back to you right after this.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Back with Trey Garrison tonight. Let's see if I can get it right this time. The author, the journalist, and the podcaster who covers the far left, Jewish extremism, and disinformation. There you go. And be sure to get his book, Opioids for the Masses, at Amazon.com.
James should have been a doctor with his handwriting.
Okay. Trey, I want to toss it right back to you on the comment you were making before that first break. I was asking you if it is possible that a young, troubled, disaffected white man could arrive to the truth with regards to the replacement fact and have seen that BLM terrorists certainly got their way as a result of violence and think that that might be the path to turning things around. I actually had a friend regarding Buffalo Bill who just wrote, who wrote to me earlier this week, I should say. He is a very wealthy friend who lives in the UK, and he wrote, "This sort of thing is a symptom of a fracturing society. I fear that episodes of this kind will become more frequent as self-radicalized, angry young white men take extreme measures out of rage at a society that has betrayed them. I am older and affluent, but if I was young and had no prospects, who knows what could have happened." Do you subscribe to that at all, Trey? Is that something that should be considered here, or what?
I think that could be a consideration. One thing I would point to is, you know, how the Department of Justice, the SPLC, and the ADL have all tried to meme into reality this idea that white, racially motivated political views are the number one domestic terror challenge facing the United States. But even
talk about the big
lie. Yeah, that's a huge. In 2019, they counted 38. In 2020, 23. And in 2021, it was 15 racially motivated attacks by white people. Now, here's the trick. Most of those, if not all of them, were, you know, things like domestic violence between a husband and wife, and the husband happened to be some kind of white nationalist, or a prison stabbing, and a guy's a member of the Aryan Brotherhood. But let's grant them that every one of those was somehow politically motivated. That's in a nation of 330 million people, of whom at least 11% subscribe to these kind of views. This is the most peaceful demographic, and it's getting more peaceful by their own numbers every year. They are excited about this one this year because they can add 10 to their list. So maybe they'll get as many as 15 or 25 next year so that they can claim that we're this big threat, when in reality, these, you know, white nationalists, far-right people are the most law-abiding people there are. Now, the idea, though,
Amen.
That disaffected young white men might become increasingly frustrated and do one of these horrible acts, it's certainly a possibility. And a serious nation would pause and say, why are we driving our foundational stock, or the young of our foundational stock, to the point
here.
Where they do want to commit these horrible acts?
And when they
That's
do commit a horrible act, they go out and shoot a bunch of Eskimos or something. You know, this is just... There's no logical path on this. They take advantage. I really feel that there's a chance that there may have been some guiding and grooming and provocation by government authorities of this thing.
It certainly smells like it.
Because shooting black people because you're upset about the Great Replacement just doesn't make any sense.
Well, let's just look at what Keith's talking about here very, very quickly. This is an NBC Nightly News graph with regards to the changing face of America. We've tweeted it. Peter Brimlow ran it on VDare. The percentage of the total U.S. population by race and ethnicity from 1960 projected through 2060. In 1960, whites were 85% of the population. What happened in 1965 that might have started to accelerate our decline?
Hartzeller Immigration Act.
All right. 2010, we're 64% of the population. 2060, we're projected to be 43% of the population. Blacks were 10% of the population in 1960. In 2060, they'll be 13%, according to the projections. Asians
were... group.
Yes, it's Asians were about 3% in 1960. They'll be 8% in 2060. Other, which I guess you would factor in Jews and American Indians and things like that, negligible. If you count all of the others, you're talking about less than a couple of percentage points in 1960, 6% in 2060. So the real growth, the real replacement is coming from the Hispanics, 4% of the population in 1960, 31% in 2060.
This is what the left does everywhere, James. See, for example, they look for the largest group in mass of third worlders and they flood your country with it. If it's America, it's Hispanics. If it's Europeans, it's Middle Easterners and Muslims.
And let's keep in mind that Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center had taped to his office wall the chart of non-Hispanic whites' proportion of the U.S. population. 1920, 90%. 1960, 85%. 2000, 69%. 2013, 63%. 2015, 62%. Now down to 59%. I wonder why. Why do you think somebody at the SBLC would be tracking that as if they're watching their stock portfolio, Trey?
Yeah,
could you tell us? Could you guess?
It's a CEO looking at the growth in his profits from what he's reaping. Now, it's interesting you mentioned that it's Hispanics are the bulk of the Great Replacement in America, and it's absolutely true, and it's the Great Replacement policy, because this is all done by policy. But if this kid were actually motivated by the Great Replacement theory, the Great Replacement policy, and they will admit that most of us believe that it's primarily the hands of Jews behind this, well, why did he just copy and paste part of Britton Tarrant's manifesto and then, like you said, go shoot up a bunch of innocent black people instead of going after the seats of Jewish
if you're going to put your life on the line, why plagiarize?
Well, that's too but it's astounding to me that they will sit there and admit that we know that this is a Jewish conspiracy, this is Jewish action, but these seemingly happenings seem to always target blacks, or like in the case of the Walmart shooting in Texas, Hispanics. Why is it that no one goes after the Jews? It's almost like the way ISIS goes after Israel.
Are you saying that perhaps this was something that was handled or stage managed?
Saying I don't have any evidence of that, but it certainly smells like it glows. But beyond that,
you smell a rat.
Yes, but beyond that, in my mind, this is a troubled young kid who is disaffected by all this, and he probably would have gone off for any number of reasons. He just happened to come upon this in the last year or so.
Well, I can give you a suggestion,
Go quick.
He wanted to go after black people. This thing happened, and then some opportunists, either with the government or on the left, decided to make it all about the Great Replacement. That's the only thing I
If he was truly – that's a good point, Keith, but if he was truly thinking about this rationally, and look, he could have been on psychotropic drugs. He could have been stage managed by an asset. I don't know. I mean, again, I said we weren't going to mention that again. We're going to tackle this from the way it's being presented to us. But, you know, doing this only retards the advancement that our issues are gaining, that our ideology is gaining amongst the Republican base. I mean, we cited stat after stat in the first hour, and we've been doing it now for over a year. Pew Center research polls, more and more of the white Republican base and of white evangelicals are radicalizing, in the best definition of the term, the best sense of the definition, I guess I should say, to our ideas. So doing something like this is just counterproductive. It just doesn't make sense. You're not doing anything good. It only hurts the cause that you claim to be an advocate of.
Absolutely. It's a huge Streisand effect. And what's funny is that they've, you know, instead of going after specific groups of white nationalists and saying who are the loudest about this, they just basically went after anybody who is white and on the right side of the aisle. And that was a huge mistake because at this point, like you said, a whole lot of Republicans and a whole lot of conservative Christians and all that are waking up to this. And there have actually been studies that show that when you show, when you explain to a non-political white person exactly how the population percentage of whites has declined over the decades and where it's projected to do, they actually get concerned about this.
And who's replacing
it? And they
you?
Become partisan about it. And what's absolutely
well, they're painting with too broad a brush.
Yeah. But even by their own belief apparently is even talking about it, even mentioning it, it's like a mind virus. It will infect people and cause them to do violence. Well, we see how rare it is that white people go on and do politically motivated mass shootings, and how absolutely rare it is. So that, you know, you're when 30% of the population supports the great, you know, belief in the great replacement policy, your argument falls under its own weight. When you say, oh, well, if people even hear about this, well, we've got to stop talking about it because it causes people to commit violence. Well, it's not happening. But it
well,
is
two,
what
two points to it,
that's
Trey.
What they're scared of. That's what they're scared
two
of.
Two points to it. One, they want to demonize whites generally. And two, they want to demonize the great replacement theory in particular. And this, they had to turn into a demonization of the great replacement.
Let's take a quick timeout. Yep. Quick timeout. We still got Trey for another two segments, and that is not nearly enough. I tell you, when you have talent like Warren Balog and Trey Garrison on, the show just evaporates. It doesn't go fast. It's just, it didn't even exist. It goes by so fast. We'll be back with Trey Garrison. We're going to get all of his contact information, but we're going to talk now about the situation in Wisconsin recently vis-a-vis what we're hearing out of Buffalo.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
A tornado that touched down in Gaylord, Michigan, in the northern part of the state, killed at least two people and injured more than 40. The twister touched down on Friday. Video posted online showed extensive damage along the city's main street. A shelter has been set up at a church. The last time Gaylord was hit with a severe windstorm was more than two decades ago. A state of emergency was declared for Otsego County. The youngest of 10 black people killed at a Buffalo supermarket in a racist attack will be laid to rest this weekend. 32-year-old Roberta Drury was at the Tops Friendly Market to buy groceries at the time of the shooting. She moved to Western New York from Syracuse a decade ago to care for her brother as he fought leukemia. She was affectionately known as Robbie by friends and family, who is being remembered as big-hearted and quick with a laugh. This is USA Radio News.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazing low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490.
Russia has closed the tap when it comes to gas exports to Finland. The move comes after Helsinki refused to pay Russian energy giant Gazprom in rubles and after the Nordic country announced it wanted to join NATO. The break is easier for Finland compared to other European countries. Russian imports of natural gas accounts for some 5% of Finland's total energy consumption. A former police lieutenant in South Florida is going to spend the rest of his life behind bars for molesting two young girls. Braulio Gonzalez worked for the Miami-Dade Police Department until he was arrested 4 years ago after a girl told a psychologist that he fondled her several times between 8 and 10 years old. She also told an interviewer with the Florida Department of Children and Families that he pointed a gun at her and threatened to kill a relative if she told. The jury 3 months ago convicted Gonzalez in 15 minutes.
At the Preakness Stakes in Baltimore, it was early voting that took first place in the race. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Trey Garrison, our guest this hour, anchoring the second hour of tonight's live broadcast. Joe Biden gave a speech this week.
Somebody wrote one for him, and he mumbled it.
to be clear, yes, Keith, that's exactly what happened. He read from notes a speech that his handlers gave him, in which he remarked that white supremacy is a poison in America. Headline reads, President Biden on Tuesday called white supremacy a poison in America and called on Americans to reject the racist white replacement theory. Well, it's not a white replacement theory. It is a replacement fact. I have, folks, for you compiled at thepoliticalcesspool.org a collection of takes on Twitter, all very, very good. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, click on the blog entry entitled The Buffalo Collection. You'll see... just a grab back here. Here's our friends at Red Iceland, Loctiff, who makes mention of the fact that there have been 185 American mass shootings in 34 different states in the 130 days of 2022. I guess it's about 135 now. But you only hear about it unless it's a white guy that could be used for political.
Of course, the fact these were all black guys, all these black guys have been brainwashed by white supremacists, and they're actually white supremacists themselves, and that's why they're shooting.
I guess. Here's Henrik Palmgren. They're also at Red Ice. Mass shooters over the last couple of years, and you can just look at their mugshots, and it's 90-95% black. This isn't whites that are doing most of the shootings, but it's the only time you'll ever hear about it. You had, of course, here's Ramsey Paul just 2 months ago, Frank James. I like the other Frank James better.
Yeah, me too. Jesse. A
black nationalist was arrested for shooting 10 people in New York City. He was an anti-white partisan. The media quickly buried that story, of course. But if you look at the data, whites are not overrepresented in mass shootings. Of course, we all know that. But, of course, the big one in recent months was the situation in Waukesha up in Wisconsin. The American media stopped talking about that in less than 24 hours because what you had there was a black nationalist, a black supremacist, whatever you want to call him, who purposefully targeted people because they were white. Now, did you hear about that? And what little you heard about that, did you hear that? No, what you heard was a car killed people.
A car went berserk. It's like that movie they had in the 70s. What was the name of it? It had some person's name, but the car was a person
Christine. And
had this animus and would run. Christine, yeah, that's it.
All right, so it's like Christine. And so let's dive into that now, Trey, your thoughts. I mean, of course, look, hey, for the 100 millionth time on TPC over the course of the last 18 years, we're pointing out the double standard and the hypocrisy, but yet it still should be mentioned. So, Trey, your thoughts.
Oh, absolutely. So we went to Waukesha the week after, like 7 days after what did they call it? The parade incident, the car tragedy. And we spoke to people up there for the documentary, and we could not get until we got one person because I think he hadn't gotten the memo yet to dummy up. But we couldn't get anybody from the Republican side, from any of the local nonpartisan leaders, to condemn this as what it was, an anti-white attack. It was clearly an anti-white attack. The man drove 30 minutes from a multiracial hellhole with Milwaukee to 90% white Waukesha to target that parade. He has a whole history of saying how he wants to kill Whitey and that sort of thing. But no one was going to categorize it as that. We couldn't get the president, much less the first lady, to come out there to condemn this action. And also, 6 years before, a guy who was, a white man who claimed to be a white nationalist shot up a Sikh temple thinking that they were Muslims. I think he killed like five people. And it was immediately condemned by leaders across the state as an anti-Sikh attack, as well as it should have been. No one's saying anti-white, even though it's right in front of your face. And like you said, 90% of these mass shootings are blacks. The FBI's own numbers tell us that when it comes to interracial crime, black on white is the biggest, black on Asian, black on Hispanic. I think you're seeing a pattern there, right? But, you know, interracial crime, white on black, is just ridiculously rare.
Minuscule.
And yet, it's statistically insignificant, to be honest. And yet, they condemn this, the virus of white supremacy and all these, you know, these things, the poison of it. But no one says anything about the anti-white thing being preached, not by the blacks, not by the Hispanics, but by the people who run the media, the people who run the educational institutions, the people who run the HR department at Google. They're the ones pushing this insidious anti-white ideology that is getting our people killed. Living in proximity to diversity gets our people killed because it's just not possible to live peacefully with that kind of diversity. But what's driving this, what makes the media not care about it, what is fueling that double standard, is because everything is geared towards preaching anti-whiteness, and you can't even admit that here comes a black guy who actually committed an anti-whiteness and condemn it. That's how far we've fallen.
Keith, a quick retort, and then I want to read here something from the National Justice Party, something published by the National Justice Party, with which, of course, Trey Garrison and our first guest of the evening, Warren Balog, are intimately involved with. But, Keith, very quickly.
Well, look, Nosferatu, people like Jonathan Greenfly, Blatt, they have this animus towards white Gentiles that just will not quit. And don't confuse them with the facts. They are going to continue to preach that white domestic terrorism is the greatest threat to American life. Not nuclear annihilation by Russia, not, black crime, not anything else, not COVID. The worst thing in the world is white domestic terrorism, and it's like you said, it's basically non-existent. We don't know what's going on in this situation with Buffalo, but whatever it was, you know, they're either trying to plaster the Great Replacement as the cause of it, and it was some other cause, or, you know, this guy is so addled that he can't tell an Eskimo from a Mexican.
All right. Damn,
it's nutty.
Damn you, Keith. I keep trying to get off of this, but you triggered me again, and I gotta ask Trey his thoughts on this, and then we'll come back to this Waukesha anti-white terrorism. But, Trey, I found it interesting, at least, that you never hear an interview with Dylann Roof, and you'll never hear an interview from this guy. You used to hear interviews with John Wayne Gacy or Ted Bundy or whomever.
They were trying to interview Lee Harvey Oswald when he was shot.
Should we take it for granted that these are actually their held beliefs? Or I haven't heard them say it. I'll take the media's word for it, I guess.
No, I won't.
No, don't. I think that there's that chance. Like I said, there's any number of reasons why people occasionally just go crazy. But the idea that it's motivated by being pro-white is absurd. Like I said, the ADL will tell you that there were 450 white racially motivated killings over the course of the last 11 years. And then you think to yourself, that sounds terrible. Wait a minute. That's about 40 a year. 40 a year, and in this country, about 200 million people are white. 11% of those, or about 22 million, are explicitly pro-white. So out of a population of 22 million people, they're committing around 40 murders a year. This is the demographic I want to live closest to because it's the safest place on the damn planet.
But it's the greatest threat.
Yeah, somehow we're the greatest threat.
Well,
actually the safest people to be around.
Trey, this is another thing we covered in the first hour. We covered a montage of establishment media personalities and high-ranking elected officials talking about how wonderful it was that whites were being replaced as the dominant majority population in this country. But, of course, if we say, hey, we believe that too, and we don't think it's a good thing, then it becomes a conspiracy theory. Here is a headline in the New York Times written by Michelle Goldberg. We can replace
another member of the tribe.
We can replace them. Your thoughts on the fact that it exists if you're for it, but it doesn't exist if you're against it.
Oh, it's just like the very character of being white exists if you're being condemned, But if you're talking about achievements, accomplishments of the civilization we've carved out of the wilderness, or the great accomplishments of our people through the ages, well, those weren't white people. There's no such thing as whiteness. That's a social construct. It's only
wonderful comment. Wonderful.
They plagiarized.
That is an excellent, excellent. Continue.
Well, we stole all these ideas from non-white.
But keep going. Keep going, Trey, before we hit the bar.
Well, and I just want to hit on one thing about when I talk about the Great Replacement Policy. Obviously, immigration is a huge part of that. But you also have to remember that since the 1960s and before, really, they have been instituting policies that have intentionally driven down the white birth rate. Tax policies, with feminism preaching to women that you need to have a career first before you get married, have a child. So they end up not having children until their 30s, and they end up having one kid instead of three. There's environmental propaganda that preaches to women.
Another great driver was Brown versus Board of Education.
It's always targeted at white people. Yeah.
Also, Brown versus Board of Education. You had to send your kids to private school, so you had to limit the number of children you had.
All right, we got to take a time out.
Exactly.
It's a cruel master here on with these breaks. They are a cruel master, but we will be back. Trey Garrison, this show. Wow. Good stuff tonight with Warren and Trey. Tim Merck still to come. Stay tuned.
American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
In Message 1, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Brave. That's what Steve Womack called the man who murdered an unarmed Trump supporter. Womack hates Trump, but loves China. COVID killed millions of Americans, and Walmart's bag boy Womack carries water for China in D.C. Womack calls Trump fans extremists, says Trump was soundly defeated. We should accept the results. Womack blamed Trump for January 6th, voted for Pelosi's witch hunt, and says Trump supporters are un-American and unpatriotic. Steve Womack is a disgrace.
I'm Neil Kumar, and I approve this message.
That, again, ladies and gentlemen, is the ad for Neil Kumar that is running on hundreds of times.
The only white advocate running for Congress this time.
Hundreds of times on a wide variety of channels, including Fox News during Tucker Carlson's hour. You can vote for Neil if you live in Arkansas's 3rd Congressional District on Tuesday.
In other words, if you're in the Ozarks.
On Tuesday, May the 24th, this coming Tuesday, the SPLC actually wrote to Neil in with regard to everything we're talking about tonight, Trey. I'd get a comment from you on this, and then I want to go back to this video you made. We got to finish with this and then get your contact information. But the SPLC wrote to Neil Kumar, candidate for Congress, a Republican candidate running in the primary. On Tuesday, you can vote for him. Greetings, Mr. Kumar, the SPLC wrote. Hope you're well. We're writing a story about the Great Replacement Theory after the recent mass shooting in Buffalo, New York. The Southern Poverty Law Center and other organizations view the Great Replacement Theory as a white supremacist and at times anti-Semitic line of thought. It is believed to have influenced the alleged mass shooter in Buffalo, as well as several others both in the U.S. and abroad. Your platform lists ending the Great Replacement theory as its first plank. Do you have a comment on these issues? Does the recent mass shooting make you reconsider your position or rhetoric? To which Neil Kumar responded, and I thought that this was very strong. Neil wrote back to the SBLC and published it on his Gab account. The fact that the administration is currently engaged, the Biden administration, that is currently engaged in ethnic cleansing against white Americans, quite literally replacing the majority population of this nation with a compliant third world peasantry who will guarantee the Democratic Party a permanent majority, makes the Great Replacement a reality rather than a theory. A very quick comment from you on that, Trey.
Well, I would say first, good for him. I'm glad he's standing up. And I would also caution anybody who's talking about this that if it's couched in terms that are not explicitly saying that the Great Replacement policy is anti-white and not about some vague partisan thing, like we just want to get more votes for Democrats. If that's true, then why has no major national Republican leader ever stood up and said, we have to protect and expand America's historic white majority to protect our party's power? They won't do it. They will never do anything pro-white, explicitly pro-white. This gentleman seems like he's the exception, and I would definitely want to throw my support behind somebody like that.
They want to disown their base, the Republicans do.
Yes.
Thank you, Trey. And again, folks, if you're in the Ozarks, if you're in the 3rd Congressional District of Arkansas on Tuesday, go to the primaries and vote for Neil Kumar. Now, remembering the Waukesha terror, Trey, I'm going to read, if you will indulge me, the entry that was posted by the National Justice Party. The National Justice Party, of course, Trey is involved with that fine organization, as is Warren Baylog, nationaljusticeparty.com, nationaljusticeparty.com. It's an organization that advocates for white civil rights, the working and middle class, and the traditional family against our corrupt and illegitimate institutions. But Trey had, this is a video you got to see. It's at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Remembering the Waukesha terror. I'm just going to read very quickly the entire entry. Media to Rise and the National Justice Party have released our documentary, Terror in Waukesha. On November 21st, 2021, a black terrorist named Daryl Brooks rammed his SUV into a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, killing 6 people and injuring at least 60, most of them white. It was clear from Brooks' social media posts and rap lyrics that the attack was an intentional racist terrorism against white people. This fact was covered up by the mainstream media and public officials. The documentary shows how Daryl Brooks was incited to violence by Black Lives Matter and the anti-white agenda, how well-financed left-wing activists and NGOs conspire to get him released from jail despite a long history of violent crime, and how after the attack, these same players covered up the evidence of Brooks' racial motive. The National Justice Party and its reporter, Trey Garrison, and NJP council member Greg Conte teamed up with Media to Rise journalists to get the answers. They spoke to public officials and even Brooks himself. I raised the tenor of my voice as a point of emphasis.
It can actually be done.
You actually talked to the murderer there in Waukesha and found that politicians and media figures clearly knew the truth about the attack and Brooks' past, yet they're too cowardly or corrupt to speak up about it. Let's talk about that again. Vis-a-vis what we've seen in Buffalo.
Well, I can go even one better. We arrived in Waukesha on Sunday night, and we went to the jail on Monday morning. And we thought he probably won't get permission to talk to him, but we'll try. 15 minutes later, we're sitting down in front of a video screen talking to him. And I learned by talking to the jail people there, literally no reporter, no media outlet had requested to talk to him, to Daryl Brooks. We were the first. A full week after this man is in jail, and not
reporter
from
CNN,
Fox. Not from Wisconsin.
You don't need facts to write a good report, apparently.
Yeah. And so they had already pushed this idea that, perhaps he was running from the police or he was running from some kind of a knife incident. He immediately told us, no, that's not true. No, I there was no knife incident. I wasn't running from the police. But that story had already circulated on MSNBC, on CNN, all to obfuscate his actual motives. His motives were clear. And the very fact, again, in the small town, there was even a local newspaper. I used to be a small town newspaper reporter. When something like this would happen, you know, I'm sorry to be the cynical newsman here, but your first thought was, I want to get this scoop. I want to beat the bigs. I want to make my name. I want to go interview.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It sounds cynical, but it's the reality. And so I would have been at that jail day one and just camped out there until I could get a chance to do an interview, especially me the first. But no one had even tried. He even told us himself, no one had spoken to him except for his public defender. It was absolutely astounding. And so it's not just that they covered it up. They had no interest in covering it at all. And they only covered it in response to when they realized we were looking into it.
That tells you just how deep the conspiracy is
that,
of silence.
That's not a conspiracy. I don't even know if it qualifies as a conspiracy. It just is what it is. I mean,
it's a conspiracy.
Trey, what you're telling me is amazing because
I was going to say, it's not a conspiracy.
Consensus, yeah.
We're not going to cover this because it's so bad for black people.
So you see how this has dominated the political headlines, the global headlines this week when a white who, and again, we have to take their word for it for the purposes of this broadcast and our commentary, believed quite factually that whites are being replaced. And that, of course, allegedly prompted his motives there in Buffalo. But when you have the negative image of that, when you have a black man who is purposefully seeking out to kill whites, nobody talks to him. Nobody covers it. Doesn't get covers at all. Didn't go there. Joe Biden didn't go to Waukesha. Waukesha and call black supremacy a poison.
It may not be a conspiracy, but the fix is definitely in, and everybody knows it.
Folks, you've got to go. You can find this at other places and the primary source, of course. But please do go to thepoliticalcesspool.org on May the 19th. So that was just a couple of days ago. Click on the link, Remembering the Waukesha Terror. And there you can watch this documentary that our guest right now, Trey Garrison, put together.
You see the journalism that regular American journalists refuse to do.
Well, number one, it's not just great journalism. It's as professional as anything you'll see. And he actually interviews the man. The car didn't kill those people, by the way. I know you may be confused about that. You may be confused about that. The car didn't do it. It was the man driving the car. But he interviews that man, and you can watch it all, and it's an incredibly well-put-together piece. So go and check it out. Trey, final thoughts from you, my friend, and thank you so much for spending an hour of your Saturday night with us on what that experience was like to actually talk to him and to be the only person, the only journalist in the country that cared enough about the truth to even talk to this guy. This should have been, if what we see in Buffalo is a national news story, this should have been a national news story. What was it like to have been there and to talk to him and put together this video?
Well, after our initial interview, we were given 30 minutes, and you can see a prisoner, two people can see a prisoner under their rules once a day for only 30 minutes. So we kind of just went there thinking this was perfunctory. We were going to try to get the interview. That was going to be half of our story, is trying to get these interviews with these people, including Daryl Brooks, and not getting them. Sort of a Roger and me kind of approach. We were so thunderstruck that we had to stop, and we retreated to a coffee shop to sit there and plan out how we were going to do the rest of this, because we were like, holy hell, we had no idea that we would get this early and this directly, and that he would talk so freely to us. So, I mean, he never confessed or anything like that, but he certainly didn't deny it. He certainly expressed no sorrow. You can watch the whole documentary, but it was so amazing to realize that. You say Joe Biden did go to Waukesha. You know who else didn't go? CNN, Fox News, MSNBC,
MSNBC,
Times, Washington Post. None of them went.
Well, I've got the great defense. I've got the great defense for Daryl Brooks now, if you'll just get to the public defender. It's the Christine defense. The automobile did it all by itself. Of its own volition. I had no part in it. I just was trapped in there when this all happened.
I'll tell you what, he could walk with a defense like that. But, folks, check this out. Trey Garrison, Greg Conte, and the Media to Rise folks there. This video, Terror in Waukesha, at thepoliticalcesspool.org, if you want a quick way to find it. It's at the very top of our blog roll. Trey, you've knocked it out of the park. You crushed it. Give us all your contact information. Of course, opioids for the Masses can be bought, still found at Amazon.com, and please buy that. But any other thing you'd like to plug, NJP, anything else?
Absolutely, NationalJusticeParty.com, but I also have it my own podcast once or twice a week, actually, The Third Rail with some great co-hosts, and that's on therightstuff.biz, therightstuff.biz.
The Third Rail, of course. I mean, you know, we're neglecting the obvious here. The Third Rail there at TRS, a part of the TRS family is Trey Garrison, as is Warren. And you've heard from two of the very best commentators out there. They were two of the ones that I specifically wanted for this show, and they exceeded my already impassable expectations. Trey, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again very soon. Really appreciate your time tonight. Tim Murdoch's up next. Stay tuned, everybody. It's a